thinking that there would be more. The hall. This past week, I've lost a good friend of mine in Ohio, Steve Drummond. His brother passed away of cancer yesterday. He was in his 40s, and I would ask that you keep that family in your prayers. And also my good friend, Mickey Galloway, who lives in Lancaster, California, his mother-in-law passed away on Friday, and he is in California dealing with that. So if you would keep those families in your prayers, I would appreciate it. A number of weeks ago, in the evening, I began a short series on drilling Bible basics. And what we're looking at is very fundamental lessons that deal with fundamental principles that will help us in our discussion with people around about us. And I'm also doing these lessons on our TV program because I feel it very necessary to set foundations for people to understand the principles that are expounded in the Bible that I believe many people don't know these foundational things, and it really hinders them in understanding the true nature of the Bible. And so I'm taking, I think there's 10 different subjects, and I think today is number 6. And I want to talk about, this morning, I want to talk about a very basic Bible story. It's called the Scheme of Redemption. That's what the whole Bible is about. The whole Bible is about the scheme of redemption. The word redemption means to buy back, to purchase back. Man was in bondage to sin. He was in slavery to sin. And sin was dominating him. He had dominion over him. And God sent his Son to destroy and to break the bond of sin, to be able to destroy the ability of Satan to hold his trump card over us, death, to demonstrate that death was not the final part of our lives. Death was just a transition to another part. And so he sent his Son in order to buy us back from our slavery to sin by giving us a remedy. And everything in the Bible story deals with how that scheme and how that plan is unveiled. God's plan through which man can obtain salvation from sin. It encompasses human history. It has been in place since the world began. In Romans chapter 16, at the end of this letter to the church in Rome, Paul ended this letter in the same manner that he began. He says, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now has been made manifest by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for the obedience of faith." And so there was a time that this plan was not fully revealed. And as we begin the Bible story and what we've done in the biblical geography class and the history class, we have tried to give you a panoramic view of biblical history as it applies to this scheme of redemption. As things, in chronological order, as things took place in order to bring this plan, and to make, the word manifest means to make it known. There was a time that this plan was hidden. It was not completely revealed, was not completely known. But now it has been manifest. And it's manifest and it made known through the Scripture. And the Scriptures give us the entire plan and how God was going to bring our salvation from sin and make it a reality. It was derived from the wisdom hidden in God's mind before the world began. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in discussing the work of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul would write to the church of Corinth in verse 7, "For we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory." Whenever you see the word mystery in the New Testament, it does not mean something that's mysterious, something that is like we would think of a mystery as something hidden, something mysterious. But the word mystery in the New Testament means that which is revealed. And something that was hidden has now been revealed, and it was determined before the ages began. What that simply means, ladies and gentlemen, is God made this plan before he uttered the words, "Let there be light." Before anything was created on the face of the deep and the darkness that was on the face of the earth, before God created the world and everything in it, God had a plan, an eternal plan. And everything that we read beginning in Genesis 1 all the way to the coming of the church in Acts chapter 2 is a pivotal step in unveiling this hidden message that was determined before time began. In Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 15 through 19, in the early church, the early church had a great deal of problem with understanding that the old law had been abrogated, that the old law had been nailed to the cross, as we read in Colossians 2:14. And they tried to bind the covenant. They tried to bind the old covenant with the new covenant. And they tried to bring in some of the old covenant laws into the new covenant. One of the two that they tried to bind was circumcision. And they tried to bind that on the new Gentile converts. And they tried to tell them that in order for them to be saved, they had to be circumcised like they did under the law of Moses. Well, that problem was addressed in Acts 15. And in Acts 15, the apostles told them that God gave no such commandment, that circumcision didn't avail anything. And you can read that in this letter in chapter 5 and verse 6. But in Galatians chapter 3, Paul sums up the scheme of redemption with three main elements of God's eternal plan. Begins in verse 15. It says, "Brethren, I speak in the manner of men. Though it's only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls it or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say and to seeds, as of many, but as one, and to your seed, which is Christ. And I say this, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should be made of none effect, the promise. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of our transgressions, till the seed should come, in whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels at the hands of a mediator." Now in these verses, it sums up what we already know. The three promises made to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 3, we are introduced to the patriarch Abraham. And in this introduction, God calls upon Abraham to leave his homeland, to leave his family, and to leave everything he knows, and to go to a land that God will show him. And in that passages in Genesis 12, 1 through 7, God makes three promises to Abraham. One, that through his descendancy he will make a great nation. That great nation will be given their own homeland in Genesis 12, verse 7. And then that nation will be the means of bringing a seed into the world, which all nations of the earth will be blessed. The promise is made to the descendants of Abraham. Those who are descendants of Abraham are heirs according to the promise. The law that he has reference to here is the law of Moses. It came 430 years after the promise to Abraham. Well, that's a long time. That's a long time from the promise made in Genesis 12 to the giving to the law on Mount Sinai in Exodus 20. But the passage of time did not change God's promise. Even though it was 400 years later, God's promise was still intact. Sometimes people believe that time somehow changes things, that time sometimes changes things that men do. We even have the argument today by many that the Bible is not relevant today because it doesn't fit our time, that it doesn't fit 21st century thinking. Problem is, this is a timeless message. It is always going to have its say because it deals with man's greatest problem. Man's greatest problem, whether he lived in the first century or he lived in Adam's time or he lives in the future, his greatest problem is always going to be the same. Sin. He's got to have a remedy for sin. He's got to have some way to deal with his sin problem. So this message will always be relevant, because that problem will always exist as long as man dwells on the earth. Romans 3:23 says that. All men have sinned and fall short of their glory. All men mean past, present, and future. All men have this problem. And so God made these three promises. And remember in verse 19 it said, till the seed come. When the seed came, and that seed is Christ, faith would come and there would be a new message. The message would not be the law of Moses. It would not be the old covenant. It would be the law of Christ. It would be the gospel of Christ. It would be a different message, and it would be for a different purpose. And that message would be for all nations, not just one, but for all nations. And so Paul is trying to get them to see that the old law had a purpose. But when that purpose was achieved, God set that law aside, because it did everything he designed to do. Let me give you an illustration. Before iPhones, we had GPSs, Garmin. And now they've been replaced by the iPhone. With a free app, you don't need the Garmin. And you also could go out to Google's Maps, or you could go to Google MapQuest.com, and you could MapQuest a map from going to here to wherever you wanted to go. And they would give you a map and give you step-by-step directions. Turn here, go straight here, and you could follow those directions till you got to your destination. All right, what do you do when you get to your destination? Unless you forgot how you got there, you might keep it to be able to follow it backwards to get back home. But after you reach your destination, you don't need the map. Now, we understand that. The old law was the same way. It was a map. It was a road map to lead us to Christ. When Christ came and his law was revealed, we no longer need that road map. We can set it aside because we have a new destination and we have a new map. That's what God was trying to get the early Jews in the first century to see. That the law of Moses had served its purpose, and they now could not be saved through that law. They had to be saved through faith, which that message is the gospel. It's not the old law, it's the gospel of Christ. Now, Galatians 3 talks about the promise. The promise was made to Abraham, and it was reiterated to Abraham in Genesis 22, verse 18, and 26, verse 4, and 28, verse 14. Now, that promise was passed from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. That promise made to Abraham that through his seed all the nations would be blessed, it passed down to Isaac and then to Jacob. And when you study your Old Testament, you will see this phrase over and over again. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. That's referring to the same promise. That is the Abrahamic promise that was made to Abraham. Now, in Galatians 3, verse 8, there's an interesting statement made. And I think when we read the Bible, when we read a passage, if we don't stop and think about it, we kind of miss the meaning of the verse. Look at verse 8 of Galatians 3. It says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham before saying, in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. How was the gospel preached to Abraham back in Genesis 12 when the gospel did not begin to be preached to Acts 2? What did that mean? How was the gospel preached to Abraham? In the promise that through his seed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. That's the gospel message. That's the gospel message, and it began with Abraham. In promise. It was not fulfilled in Abraham until the coming of Christ. But it began to be preached to Abraham in the very beginning. Here's the point. Should the Jew have known that God's promise never was for them alone? From the very beginning, God pointed to all nations. All nations would include the Gentiles. It would not just include the Jew. Blessing for all nations would be done through justification by faith. Why? Because of sin. Remember the argument in Romans 3. In Romans chapter 3, the argument is made when Paul is talking to the Gentiles and to the Jews. He says, why then are we better than they? Now he's talking about the Gentiles. No, not at all. For we have previously charged both Jew and Greek that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, do not, no, not one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside, they have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. What's he talking about? He's talking about sin. Everybody has a sin problem. The Jew had it, the Gentile had it, all men have it. And since all men have the sin problem, all men need justification by faith. Now, what is justification? Justification is acquittal. What justification means to make one right. When you're in sin, you're wrong. When you're in sin, you're an enemy of God. When you're in sin, you're alienated from God. What makes us right? What acquits us from the condemnation of our sin? The only thing that can do that is the faith that is in Christ Jesus. That's the only thing that can give us justification, is by faith. Faith in what? Faith in Christ. And how is faith in Christ, how is it demonstrated? Well, we'll answer that. Abraham's seed equals Christ's seed. Justification is through faith in Christ. And no one can add or annul this covenant. What God said to Abraham, nobody can change it. Nobody can alter, no matter how many years it took. And from the time it was given in the patriarchal age until the coming of Christ, it was over thousands of years. It took thousands of years to get to Christ on the cross. Thousands of years. Did that change the promise? Did that annul the covenant that he made? No. And if you remember the Lord, when he came onto the scene in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, I did not come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill the law. Jesus came to fulfill everything that was written about him, according to Luke 24, in the Psalms, the prophets, and the law. And that's what he did while he was here. He fulfilled both things that were written in the law. And justification was not through the law. The law could not justify a man. Why? What? Now, did they need to keep the law? Yes, they need to keep the law. They were required to keep the law of Moses. But it couldn't justify it. It couldn't acquit them. Why? Because there's one thing it couldn't do. It couldn't deal with sin. It had no permanent remedy for sin. The law was never intended to save man. The law of Moses was never given for salvation. The law of Moses was given for transgression. What does that mean? That means to make man aware of sin. Now, if man becomes aware of sin, what else does he become aware of? He becomes aware of that he needs a Savior. He needs salvation. He needs a remedy. And the law was going to take him to the remedy. It was going to take him to the solution to his greatest problem. That's what the law was designed to do. And when it did that, then it would be set aside. God's promise to Abraham was a covenant, an agreement, that could not be changed, not even by the addition of a law 430 years later. The law of Moses entered in a new period of history. It's called the Mosaic period. That Mosaic period did not change what God promised Abraham. That new law, the law of Moses, now man wasn't under, in the patriarchal age, there was no codified law. That means it wasn't written down. God spoke to the Father. He spoke directly to Abraham. He spoke directly to Noah, said, build the ark. He spoke directly to Adam and Eve. There was a time in the patriarchal age, God spoke directly to man. But in the Mosaic age, that changed. And he only spoke through Moses, and he spoke through the law. Now, that could not change what God promised Abraham. God promised Abraham that all nations would be blessed through his seed. The law didn't change that. The law of Moses didn't change that. It was just another piece to get us to that point, to where all men could be blessed. Abraham received his inheritance by promise, not by the law. What's that mean? Did Abraham see his descendants grow into a nation? No. Did he ever own a part of the land of Canaan that became the promised land? No. Did he see Christ come? No. But he received all of those promises by promise, not by law, but by promise. They all came about. Now, here's a chart that I hope will help you. All nations are going to be blessed through Abraham. Everything's going to generate through the Jewish race. Every promise that God made, even going as far back as Genesis 3, when he promised in the consequences of sin, when he punished Satan, he said there would be enmity between the seed and the woman. That promise had to do with Christ. But that promise is now given in more detail in Genesis 12:3, that says all nations of the earth will be blessed through the seed of Abraham. Now, the law had a purpose. Turn back to Galatians chapter 3 for a moment. Now, we've already read verse 19, so we'll pick it up at verse number 20. Now, listen very carefully to the argument Paul's making. Now, a mediator does not mediate for only one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? And that's a rhetorical question. Were the promises that God made to Abraham against the promise of God? Did the law that was instituted in Moses on Mount Sinai, was it against the promise that God made Abraham? He's going to answer it. Certainly not. For if there had been a law given by which men had given life, truly righteousness would have been seen by the law. If the law could have given man life, could have given him spiritual life, could have given him eternal life, there would have never been another law given. Would there? If that law could give him righteousness, there would be no need for another law. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Christ Jesus might be given to those who believe. Notice, faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But faith came, we were kept, before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Notice what it said. Before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. You see what that says? The law was a map to direct us to Jesus Christ. When we got to where we needed to go and be, to have faith through the gospel and through the preaching of Christ, then we were no longer under that old tutor. That old tutor had done its work, it had done its job, and it was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2 and verse number 14. Now, the purpose of Moses' law was because of transgression. What did it tell men? You're a sinner. You commit adultery, that's a sin. You committed murder, that's a sin. You covet your neighbor's wife, his possession, you're a sinner. You transgress God's law and worship, you're a sinner. The law demonstrated to man that he was a sinner. And the law was given because of transgression. Paul makes the argument in Romans. He says, how would I have known that I was a sinner without the law? Without the law, I would have not known that I'm a sinner. Now I know that I'm a sinner, and if I'm a sinner, then I need a remedy for sin. Was the law against the promise? No, it was part of the promise. The law wasn't against the promise. You know, I've been asked this many times. If the law couldn't save us, then why did God give it? Why did he just begin with the gospel of Christ? You'd have to ask God that. I don't know the answer to that. But I know that the law was given unto us and given to mankind to lead them to the cross. That's what the law was given for, to lead them to Christ. That was God's plan that he made before the world began. No, because of sin, The law which demanded perfect law keeping could not give life. How's the only way the old law could save you? You had to keep it perfectly. You'd have to never violate it at any point. Did any man do that? No. One did. One did. Jesus Christ did. But no other man was ever able to keep the law. And if man couldn't keep the law perfectly, the law couldn't save him. But God knew that man couldn't keep the law. What did Jesus say through the gospel? All men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What did John say? 1 John 1 verse 8. If man says he has no sin, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. Yes, man has a problem. And no matter when man lived, he had this problem. Beginning with Adam to the last man that ever lived on the earth, they're all going to have to deal with the sin problem. And the passage of time and the different law didn't change that problem. God knew that there was a limitation in the old law. He made it that way. He made it to prepare men for the law of Christ. What the law of Moses does is prepare men for the law and salvation that is in Christ. The promise is the sinner's only hope. The only hope the sinner has is in that promise, that all nations of the earth will be blessed. That's the sinner's hope. That was the sinner's hope in Abraham's day. That was the hope in Moses' day. And that's the hope in our day. That promise is tied to every dispensation of mankind. That promise in Christ is tied to everyone in the world. How long would the law be in effect? Till the seed should come. When did the seed come? He came when the Lord was born in Matthew chapter 1. And it was in effect until the day he died. When he died, the law died. Read Colossians 2 and verse 14. The law kept man under guard for the faith that would be revealed. Future. The law was an attendant to escort us, to bring us to Christ. After faith in Christ has come, man is no longer needs the attendant, the old covenant. Now, I know what some people think, and I've heard this all my life. Well, if the old covenant couldn't save us, why do we study it? Why do we even go back there and look at it? Because you know why we do that? To see the wisdom of God. To see how God brought this all about. To see how God's plan worked. And you know, we have a great advantage over people like Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Samuel, David, Saul, Solomon. We have a great advantage. We saw the whole thing as it went out through history. We can watch the whole plan unfold through the Bible. We can watch how it all fit together, just like God planned it. People in Abraham's day couldn't see that, only by faith, by promise. People in Moses' day couldn't see the fulfillment of it, only by promise. And the people in the first century, they began to see all the things that the prophet and those before him never saw. So there's great advantage to us. Now, remember Abraham and the promise? Then the law came. The law didn't change the promise. The law was just another step to lead us to the inevitable conclusion. And it was added because of sin. And it confined all under sin. The law showed us that all men were sinners. What the law did is show we all had a sin problem. Now, if we all got a sin problem, we all need a remedy, don't we? And that's what the law of Christ is all about. The remedy. The remedy to the sin problem. Galatians 3, 26. For we are all sons of God through faith in... Doesn't say the old law there. Says in Christ Jesus. For as many of you were baptized into Christ to put on Christ. Now here's the key. Verse 28 and 29. Listen. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise? In your seed, all nations of the earth shall be blessed. Who was that seed? Christ. And if we are in Christ, We are spiritually connected to Abraham. See how that works? Jew or Greek, male or female, bond or free, doesn't matter. If you're in Christ, then you're an heir to the promise made to Abraham. Now, do you think that just happened by coincidence? Or did God work it out that way? God made that plan before he created anything. Justification of sinners by faith of the gospel. What did Paul say in Romans 1:16? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is God's power to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. One obtains salvation by faith when he puts Christ on in baptism. Where is all spiritual blessings at? According to Ephesians 1 verse 3, in Christ. How does one get in Christ? He's baptized into Christ. And what is one of those spiritual blessings? Forgiveness of sin. How does man get forgiveness of sin? With the blood of Christ. How does he obtain the blood of Christ? By being baptized into his death. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Do you think all that's by accident? No, God made that so before the world began. All that plan was already thought out. Already thought out in the mind of God. And through history, he put it all together, and we can open the Bible and we can see how it all was done. And it came out exactly like God said it would. You know what that's called, brethren? That's called divine providence. Think about this. How many decisions did God's people make that were contrary to God's will? Could you number them? How many mistakes did he make trying to fight God about this? And yet all of the bad choices he made, all the bad decisions he made, all the sin that he committed, all the idolatry, the spiritual adultery, all of that didn't change God's plan one iota. It still came about. You know what that tells me? God's more powerful than we are. That's what it tells me. What's it tell you? All saved are one in Christ, and it fulfills the promise made to Abraham. So now we have the cross, the faith of the gospel, and Abraham's promise is seen fulfilled in the preaching of the gospel. And when Acts chapter 2, when those Jews who had crucified the Lord asked the question, when they were convicted of their sin, men and brethren, what shall we do? He didn't take them to the law of Moses. He didn't say, go to the priest and offer an animal sacrifice for a sin offering and a burnt offering. He didn't say that. You know what he did say? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. That wasn't the message of the old law. That was the message of the gospel. And that message has been preached from that day until this day. And that message will be preached until time on earth ends. That's the message. That's the remedy. That's the solution. And all the passage of time did not change that effect. It came about exactly the way God planned it. It all came about according to divine plan. No longer under the old covenant. Now we're sons of God by faith. We're baptized into Christ with obedience to the gospel, and all are one in Christ. And we now are of Abraham's seed, and we're heirs according to the promise. How do you miss this? How do you not put this together that all this is not by accident? It was all purpose. It was all predetermined. You know, we talk a lot about predestination, and people have a lot of that wrong. But all of this was predestined. All of this plan was predetermined before God created anything. And all of it came about exactly like God had purposed it. We're under the new covenant, not the old. The promise, the law, and faith in the gospel. That's where we're at today. Be rich in faith an heir according to the promise of God. Brothers, this is the plan to save mankind. And this is the plan that God designed before the world began. The law pointed that we had a problem. The problem was sin. And the law didn't have a permanent remedy. So God sent a permanent remedy. You know, Hebrews 10 says, the blood of the bull and the goat couldn't take away sin. So all those sacrifices, have you ever been asked or have you ever wondered, if those animal sacrifices couldn't take away sin, why did they offer them? In order to obtain the promise. You see, when Jesus died on the cross and he gave his life there, when that blood was spilled, every one of those sacrifices under the old covenant was validated. And now God accepted it as payment for sin and justified those who lived on the patriarchal age, those who lived on the Mosaic age, but they were saved by the blood of that animal. The blood of that animal made them recipients of the salvation that is through the blood of Christ. And that's what the Bible says, all are saved through Christ. But that sacrifice of the cross would have meant nothing to the Jew or to any man in the patriarchal or the Mosaic age had they not kept the law that God gave them. When they kept the law that God gave them and they died, keeping that law, that all that they did under that law was made right when Jesus died upon the cross. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, the blood flowed backwards and forward. Because it saves all men in all time. And the provision is the same. Faith in Christ, obedience to God. Many of you in this audience have already benefited from your kingdom when you obey God. And now you're a new creature. And as a new creature, you have to walk in God's path. You have to walk according to the law. No, you don't burn incense. You don't offer animal sacrifices. You don't have to confess your sins to me. You don't have to go to a priest in order to make your sacrifices, because you don't live under that law anymore. You live under the law of God, and you must keep his covenant. And the Bible says in Revelation 2, verse 10, to be thou faithful unto death, and thou shalt receive the crown of life. You know what I like about the Bible? You have an honest heart, and you read it, you can listen. God has a plan. Have you benefited from that plan? Are you a Christian? And if you are a Christian, have you lived your life according to his word? If not, God made provision. How to get into Christ, and we've already discussed that. And if you are in Christ, how to get back in the fellowship of Christ? By repenting of your sin, confessing it, praying to God, and seeking his forgiveness. That's chapter 8, verse 22 through 24. So God is faithful that he will do exactly what he says. And I leave you with this thought. Did God fulfill every promise he made to Israel? The nation of Israel did receive. They received the land of promise. And the seed came to Israel. Read Matthew 1, verse 4. If God did that through thousands of years of time, will God fulfill every promise that he made to us? Yes, he will. That's what we have our hope in. Our hope is in Christ. We can help you and visit comfort.